superstitions. People believe a lot of superstitions. Black cats crossing the road, stepping over a snake, walking behind a ladder, breaking a mirror, stopping the clock or covering the mirrors when someone dies, stumble over a stone, go back and walk over it again. Avoid placing beds with the feet toward the door, not to be carried out of the house or the hospital, wards feet first, throwing peelings or a tooth behind you, break a wishbone, throwing coins in the well, and the list goes on. All under superstitions and witchcraft. Next one is an imaginary playmate. I'm going to give you an example. This is not talking about a little boy or a little girl pretending they are Uncle so-and-so or Aunt so-and-so or whatever. This is talking about something else. A little boy playing on the floor, and mom says, "Billy, are you ready to go outside?" Little Billy responds with, "Let me check with Jake." Little boy says, "Jake, are we ready to go outside?" He waits a bit, then says to mom, "Yeah, we're ready to go outside." Now, parents sometimes think that's funny. The child's off wherever, just talking into space. It's not funny. What's happening is the child is actually communicating with a demon. That Jake, that Billy called Jake, is actually a demon. Notice he says, "We are ready to go outside." Next one is martial arts. This is not just self-defense. There are powers involved that are great, far greater than human. I actually talked to a man that was in it. He was raised in the Mennonite setting. And I told him, I said, "Well, maybe I should just take some training too." He says, don't you dare. I said, "Why not?" He says, "You're going to get involved in stuff you don't want to be involved in." I said, "Really? So it's not just a certain practice, not just a certain way of doing something?" He says, "Absolutely not. There's a lot of power behind that stuff that does not meet your eye." He says, "Don't. Please, I plead with you, don't." So I said, "There is a way out." And he's like, "No, I'm in it too far. I can't get out." Seance ceremonies, communicating with the dead, those things do happen. I could tell you a story about a man that called me, and he talked about how he went with his mom when he was 2 to a seance. I was going to look at a number of things of Satanism. There's some pretty serious stuff that goes on. I'd like to look a little bit at why do teenagers get involved in Satanism. Two primary reasons that teenagers get involved in Satanism are to compensate for the lack of family nurturing and to satisfy a need for control. For many teens, Satanism is the ultimate form of rebellion. Satan promises them an instant, unlimited power that they can use against authority figures like parents and teachers. Many professionals link the rise in Satanism among the youth to the breakdown of the family. Often teens involved in Satanism are products of dysfunctional families where problems such as divorce or substance abuse have destroyed the family structure. Most of them are seeking security, love, discipline, and support. And that is an article that James Dobson wrote a number of years ago. I am going to say that if couples aren't divorced, if they literally divorced, but even if they live in the same home and they're about as far apart as you can get them, sometimes I get couples into my office and the chairs automatically just go pew, like that for some reason. I had one situation where the lady sat down in the chair and the husband sat down in the chair, and it was almost like I had a motorized chair because the chair went that far and came right around and came the side of my desk. I didn't know if it was coming on my side or what was happening. Those types of things will affect children. In fact, you have a lot of the same symptoms in children like that as you do when a couple actually literally divorces. We have Brother Kenny talked a little bit about satanic ritual abuse. This is definitely a problem in our country, both on this side of the border and the other. Blood pacts and rituals, this is drawing blood or going through rituals to committing your life to Satan. There's different things that people will do to gain power. They call them power emblems, and that can be things like drinking blood, urine, feces, eating human flesh, and that comes along with the line of child sacrifice and stuff like that. I'm just going to go through these rather quickly. Committing your life to Satan, that can be done either by force, or it can be just kind of nonchalantly, not really thinking or agreeing, just kind of a little 9-year-old girl sitting under a tree. Her mother was dying, and she was sure there was nobody going to be taking care of her, and she said, all of a sudden she heard this voice and it said, I'll take care of you. And she said, sure, why not? Nobody else will. And when she was sitting in my office, I asked her one day, this is not something you ask a Mennonite. And then I asked her, I said, have you ever committed your life to Satan? Because there was something we just constantly run against. And I wrestled with that question for a bit. And finally I asked it, and her response was, why do you ask that? Didn't help me feel any better. But I said, that question keeps coming and it doesn't leave me. And she said, it takes me back. I had completely forgotten, but it takes me back to when I was a 9-year-old girl. And I agreed with that voice.